I'm Afshin Ratansi. We're going underground ahead of the start of mass warship and warplane games by NATO simulating conventional war with Russia and China. Coming up on the show, Switzerland's president on his meetings with EU-appointed Venezuelan counterpart Juan Guaido and Trump's point man Abrams on clearing out all the bank accounts of the richest man on earth, Sino-Russian bus driver Nicolás Maduro. And the final death of mainstream media, we speak to Jimmy Dore about the long-term implications for NATO nation journalism after a massive failure to link Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin. All this and more coming up in today's Going Underground. But first, away from the biased pro-Jeremy Corbyn, Bernie Sanders left-wing mainstream media, Britain has never been doing better. Arguably one of the most successful and competent UK prime ministers in history, Theresa May explains here how to build on all her successes.
Underpinning all this is the need to get the best Brexit deal for our country. One that benefits families across the UK. One that delivers the control over our borders, laws and money that Britain voted for. And one that maintains the maximum possible access to European markets.
But as that last shot of May shaking hands with the President of France shows, the triumph of the neoliberal model is not exclusively British. France's success in eradicating economic inequality has necessitated historical reconstructions of what it was like in France under socialism. Here is one enactment at the iconic L'Arc de Triomphe, filmed by our sister organization Ruptly, with the words of France's most popular leader since Napoleon.
Guys, you are not free market. I do believe in free market. I do believe in a market economy, but we need regulation and convergence.
But there are those who threaten the success demonstrated weekly in Paris. Here is the eminent biographer Tom Bauer on the leader of Western Europe's largest totalitarian vegetarian movement, Jeremy Stalin Corbyn.
The real reason I went for Corbyn and wrote this book is because he's a communist.
Not only that, but he's threatening Britain's best-loved company, currently involved in valuable aid work in the poorest country in the Middle East.
BA Systems is a very important part of the UK economy. As an organisation, we are at the leading edge of engineering and technology, and as a result of that, we contribute hugely to the capability of this country, both in terms of its security and, of course, its prosperity. And our footprint all over the world is very significant indeed.
Championing that valuable work in Yemen is Britain's Defence Secretary Gavin Williamson, who is using the British military to attack the evils of Chinese communism.
And I can announce the first operational mission of HMS Queen Elizabeth. Will include the Mediterranean, the Middle East and the Pacific region. Making global Britain a reality. Significantly, British and American F-35s will be embedded in the carrier's air wing, enhancing the reach and lethality of our forces, reinforcing the fact that the United States remains our very closest of partners.
So successful was his announcement to threaten the People's Republic of China with lethality that the Chinese immediately cancelled a visit by the UK Foreign Secretary to Beijing. Meanwhile, one of Britain's greatest elder statesmen showed the Russians that Britain will be no patsy for Putin's attacks on Europe.
Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev used to say, trust but verify. I can't remember what that is in Russian. Dobrin.
But there are still threats, not least from the true enemies of neoliberalism, worse than Corbyn, Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the British royal family, and its obsession with old Moscow allies, Cuba. Here is the heir to the British throne at his meeting below a mural of revolutionary Camilo Cienfuegos. Could we still be saved? Perhaps Kanye West expressed it most articulately with the leader of the free world, Donald Trump, at the White House.
Is a future presidential candidate?
Could very well be.
Only after.
Could very well be. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We have a good... And the thing is, let's stop worrying about the future. All we really have is today. We just have today. Over and over and over again, the eternal return, the hero's journey. And Trump is on his hero's journey. Right now.
Or, as Donald Trump said before U.S. authorities detained Chelsea Manning after Obama-era torture for blowing the whistle on crimes against humanity to WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks! I love WikiLeaks.
Well, the EU and Washington want to overthrow a new country after their successes in Iraq, Syria and Libya, Venezuela. Joining me via Skype from Zurich in Switzerland is the youngest ever president of Switzerland. Thank you so much, Mr. President, for coming on Going Underground. I've got to ask you, how can you possibly allow your country to break with decades of neutrality to support the EU-Washington campaign against Venezuela?
Thank you. You should know that we couldn't see how what happened within Venezuela recently and the situation with the Venezuelan people. And we can't see anymore what dictator Maduro did with them. And so we decided to freeze his bank accounts, and we decided to break our neutrality. And I think we will do it in future with all other dictators.
You obviously spoke to Elliot Abrahams, Trump's special envoy on Venezuela. He's been associated with death squads across Central and Latin America. The Pope made Archbishop Romero a saint recently, and Abrahams is implicated in the support that was given that contributed to Romero's assassination. Why was he the man you wanted to call from Switzerland when it came to, well, in effect, stealing, as we know from the recording, was subsequently leaked, stealing money from the Venezuelan people?
So he called me first, and he's a nice guy, and I know that he had a great experience, especially in foreign relations. And we knew each other many years, so he kept his own money in our banks. So that's why I decided to support his decision and to freeze accounts of dictator Maduro.
This is all an April Fool joke. Forget it. Your name is Alexei. We better stop now before we create an international incident. Let's just hear very quickly a clip from, and this really is, isn't it? This really is. Donald Trump's U.S. Special Representative of Venezuela, Elliot Abrahams, who we were just speaking there, who with the EU want to pick their candidate to overthrow the democratically elected leader of Venezuela.
We're trying, working with a number of European governments, to cut off the ability of the Maduro regime essentially to steal these assets.
Unbelievable. Lexis, how did you do it? How possibly could you prank Donald Trump's U.S. Special Representative?
You know, we have a great experience. Not so far ago, we had a prank with Nikki Haley. She was a representative in the UN, and we had many pranks with senators, for example, Maxine Waters, McCain, Lindsey Graham, or even Mitch McConnell, head of...
You've done them all. And why do you think that it was important to speak to Mr. Guaido in Venezuela? Britain, of course, says that he should be the leader of Venezuela.
I need a statement from you, a special written document. I will provide you an example what to write, and we can block their accounts really fast. I think it will take 1 or 2 days.
Si, perfect.
Of course, because it's unknown person. Nobody knew something about him. And it was interesting for us to understand who he is. Is he a charismatic leader, or he does only that things that he delegated to do from his partners from Department of State. So we're absolutely sure that he is under control of Elliot Abrams, because you know that story that when we told him to ban a few accounts, including Alexis Vanin Bank, when we told to do that him, he didn't ban it. But when we called to Elliot Abrams and asked him to say Guaido to do that, he said, I will order to do that. And he sent us his first order. I mean, Guaido sent us his first order to ban Lexus Hawaiian Bank.
So a direct control from Washington of this National Assembly leader.
Absolutely, yes.
But this is very serious, obviously, because we are having implications here on war and peace, world war and peace. You pranked the OPCW. Why did you do that? And what did you get out of pranking the OPCW when it was investigating a very serious incident that occurred here in Britain regarding alleged Novichok in Salisbury?
In the state, I hope you understand that it could be only Russia, or if not, do you have any ideas which other states could be develop this substance? In theory, such labs are in Russia, but in Great Britain, USA, Ukraine, and even in Poland as well.
Yes. Mr. Prime Minister, according to us, our experts, it can be produced in any state.
Yes, it was a very important prank because nobody knows details about investigation from where Novichok was brought and who is creator of that poison, that poisoned Skripals. And we heard only rumors from the media. So we decided to ask it about the from the ask the person who has a deal with the all cases with the that's this case with the head of OPCW. We asked him who is the producer of this poison, and he said that this poison could be produced from any country. So he has no evidence that Russia has ties to that case.
And this was an off the record thinking he was talking. Yeah. To someone else saying there is no evidence of Russian government involvement in the Salisbury attack. What about accusations that you're just Kremlin stooges?
I know it's fashionable to accuse everyone in ties to Russia and to Russian government, and especially us. But you know that we got his number through open sources. It's not easy in our digital century to get any contact. And we did that not with the help of government. If we could help, have a help of our government, we will make much more pranks. Just
then,
trust.
But then you would be a spy. Do you think what you're doing, even though it's supposed to be funny, is kind of closer to journalism in that you can also get the real sources in their own words, when journalists don't seem to be able to get the truth because often authorities don't do interviews and authorities don't speak?
You know that prank, we call it prank journalism, and we decided to do it for special useful for society, get information that it's impossible to get from official. So we decided to do it by ourselves to reveal secrets for that they hide it from society. So I think it's a mix between journalistic and prank, because it's not a journalistic, because we don't have a moral ethic of journalists, and it's not a pranks, because it's not only for fun, but it's for society.
Alexei Stoliarov, thank you. After the break. The end of the BBC, CNN, and the New York Times. Western media collapse with legendary broadcaster Jimmy Dore. All this and more coming up in part two of Going Underground. Welcome back. Donald Trump prepares to meet NATO Secretary General in Washington tomorrow, sure in the knowledge that U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has failed to imprison him after widespread allegations promoted in NATO nation media that he is a stooge of the Kremlin. Joining me now via Skype from Pasadena in California is the legend that is Jimmy Dore. Jimmy, thanks for coming back on. Why? Why is your media in the United States not talking about the NATO meeting? It seems to just be talking about the failure of Robert Mueller to investigate the links between Trump and Putin.
Well, because the mainstream news media, the corporate-owned, bought news media in the United States, has spent the last 2+ years pitching a conspiracy theory at the top of their lungs. And in America, we call it a red baiting conspiracy theory, right? Even though, you know, there is no Soviet Union anymore and there is no more communism, it's funny that it's been imprinted in Americans' brains to fear the Reds, right? To fear Russia. And so that's why this works so beautifully. And what this all was, I hope everyone knows what this was this was the perfect storm of conspiracy and deflection and cover-up, right? So in the United States, we have two political parties that are viable. That's it, too. So the corporations, the military-industrial complex, and the banks have bought both those parties, and they've been screwing the workers since 1980. So when Barack Obama got elected, a black guy with a Muslim name, we thought things were going to change. He was George Bush 2.0. He extended the wars. He inherited two wars. He made them into seven. He did Libya. He dropped 26,000 bombs in Syria. He made the banks bigger. He didn't break them up. He kicked people out of their houses. He didn't bail them out. He gave trillions of dollars to the banks. He opened the Arctic to drilling twice anytime Shell asked them. He didn't go to Wisconsin to help the teachers retain their union. He did nothing for working people, and they figured it out that both parties are garbage. So when they tried to get us to vote for Hillary Clinton, the people wouldn't anymore. And she lost to a political novice game show host and a clown, Donald Trump, right? So they couldn't just say, wow, we are no longer representing the people of America. We only represent our corporate donors, which is what the problem is in America, which is why we have 30 million people without health care and 80% of the workers in America living paycheck to paycheck in the richest country in the world. So they couldn't actually look at their failed system in the media because they are the system. They are the boats. That's why they spun this conspiracy theory that it had to be Russia. It couldn't be our failed politics. It couldn't be our corrupt Democratic Party. It couldn't possibly be that. So they decided to spin this red baiting conspiracy theory. And guess what? It turned those people into millionaires because you get a lot of views and a lot of clicks pushing a red baiting and scaring people. That always works, right? And so now they're covering it up. Plus the military industrial complex, they also wanted this red baiting conspiracy theory pushed in the media. Why? Because they wanted a new Cold War. Why? Because of money. Right now we're spending 40% more on our military budget in the United States than we were spending at the height of the Iraq War right now. And we don't really have an enemy in the world. Where all we're doing is starting wars. So that's why this happened, right? So the intelligence community in the United States are a bunch of war-mongering liars. They're lying to the president, right? They actually lied to the president and they tried to screw him over. And that's what this is revealing, that we have a corrupt system in the United States. And that's why the media got it 100% wrong, because they are owned and funded by the people they're supposed to be investigating and revealing. And the reason I got it right, a nightclub comedian doing a news show on YouTube, the reason I got it right 2.5 years and scooped the entire corporate news media in the United States is because I'm not bought by them. I'm not funded by the people I'm supposed to be investigating and exposing. That's why. And you don't have to. I'm not saying I'm a great investigative journalist. I'm not even a bad investigative journalist. I'm just not bought. All you have to do is look down the street, as Greg Palast told me, and look at what's happening and report it back. It doesn't take any brains or brilliance, which is why I was able to do it. And a Rhodes Scholar like Rachel Maddow melted down for 2.5 years like a crazed lunatic Alex Jones. She should be in journalism jail if there was one. And there's still no reckoning. And politicians are rallying around Rachel Maddow right now in the United States. It's a disgusting show, and it's not stopping.
Well, yeah, because you may be blaming the media, but no less a figure than the head of the Congressional Intelligence Committee in the House, Adam Schiff, told CNN there is ample evidence of collusion in plain sight. Well, he is the House Intelligence, well, you're laughing, but surely that trumps Mueller.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, why didn't they appoint Adam Schiff to do the investigation? He said that's all. I guess Mueller is drunk when he goes to work and he's had a brain injury or something. And all the FBI, the top investigators in the country, also are drunk when they go to work because Adam Schiff could have did their job better for him. So this is another lying politician. Adam Schiff is a liar and a gaslighter, and he's doing it to his own country. And what Adam Schiff doesn't want you to realize is that he'd rather have Donald Trump be president than have a guy like Bernie Sanders be president, right? So what he's doing actually props up Donald Trump. This is a huge gift to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been running around for 2 years calling the corporate media in the United States fake news. And it turns out they were. And so now when he actually is doing something that's corrupt and the news media calls him out for it, they're going to be the boy who cried wolf and nobody's going to believe them. So now Donald Trump is given this huge gift in his 2020 campaign. He's now bulletproof from criticism from the mainstream media, and they're still not stopping. They're completely discredited. There will be no reckoning, and guys like me are shooting to stardom in the United States because people can't go anywhere else to get the truth. All our media in the United States is owned by six companies. All of it. They all work for the same people, and they're all propagandist liars. And okay, I scoop them. Me.
Okay, but you were, you, as you say, were predicting this sort of outcome after these years of investigation. Did anyone phone you up, any of these Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow? Did they phone you up? Because, as you say, lots of people, they know who you are and your show on YouTube. Anyone call you up to say, okay, Jimmy, you were right on this one?
Well, not only did they not call me up during the 2.5 year conspiracy theory that they were spewing, they never brought on a counter narrative. They never brought on me or someone like Aaron Matei or Max Blumenthal or Greg Palast or Abby Martin or Mike Preisner or Ben Norton or Kyle Kalinske, who's also a famous YouTuber who's pushed back against this. They would only bring on people who would confirm their bias. So they're not doing news. They're doing propaganda, and they won't bring me on. Now, there's a handful of people in the United States doing great reporting who exactly, like I just, all those people I just named. And that's it. Glenn Greenwald also. And that's it. There are no other people who push back against this conspiracy theory. Now, you would think that all the newsrooms in America would be like, wow, we really screwed up. Let's call these guys who got it right and hire them and save our reputation. Not one phone call. They do not want to be right. This is the news in America is not about being right or giving you facts. The news in America, as Chomsky pointed out decades ago, the news media in America is there to advance the elite's position. It's to push their views. And so now we have now internalized the values of the plutocrats in the United States, which is why 50% of the people in America can't afford a $400 emergency. We're broke in America. We have the biggest income disparity since the medieval times, and they're screaming about Russia. Well, I'll tell you something. Russia didn't make 30 million Americans not have health care. Russians didn't make 50% of Americans not be able to afford a $400 emergency. Russia didn't make 80% of the people in America live paycheck to paycheck. Russia didn't do any of this stuff. Russia didn't put all the students under mountains of student debt. Russia didn't do it. You know who did that? Americans did that to Americans, and Americans' corporate media is 100% corrupt and in bed with the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party and the media are owned by the same people.
Okay, but I mean, there was some self-reflection after the Iraq war. Does that just mean that this is basically WMD again and again, and it'll be repeated next week, next year?
There was no self-reflection after WMDs in Iraq. I don't know where that comes from. Phil Donahue, famously on MSNBC, was getting the Iraq war right. They fired him. And they said they fired him for low ratings when it really came out that Phil Donahue had the highest rated show on the network when they fired him for low ratings. And it came out a couple years later when a memo surfaced that they didn't want Phil Donahue on their air because during a time of war, it looks bad for their brand to be against war. So they fired Jesse Ventura. They fired Phil Donahue
expect, I mean, as Donald Trump, who wants Schiff, by the way, to resign, we don't expect Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow and people to resign now that their latest numbers are down as regards ratings after the Mueller report.
No, they are not. No. In fact, I just told you that even the politicians in America are rallying around the corrupt news media. Why? Because they're all bought by the same people. They never called Phil Donahue back. Hey, you got the Iraq war right. Could you come back on our show and help us get the rest of the wars? He's persona non grata. He's never invited back on the corporate news media.
Okay, let's just quickly get to the stories, obviously, that are being hidden by all this Russia stuff. What did you make of Trump's Mr. Pompeo, Secretary of State, banning the International Criminal Court investigators to talk about U.S. Possible crimes in Afghanistan?
So, you know, we live in a mafia state. The United States has turned into a mafia state. We're going to go around the world committing war crimes. And because we're the biggest bully with the biggest gun, when you try to hold us accountable for our war crimes, we're going to just say, no, we're not playing because we have a bigger gun than you. And, you know, it's and right now, the corporate media in the United States going along with another criminal coup in Venezuela. Venezuela, which has twice the oil reserves as Saudi Arabia. And when I found that out, I knew we had to bring their people some democracy.
Okay, but you can't just complain about the United States. The European Union backs the United States to the hilt on Venezuela and says that other man, Mr. Guaido, should be leading that country, not the elected leader.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the Western powers, the oil companies. You know, the UK turned on Venezuela when they wouldn't give them the rights to their oil fields, and so they won't even give them their gold. Yeah, I mean, I look at it from a perspective of the United States. I criticize my government first because that's the government I can have the most influence on. But you're correct. Yes, it's also the European Union. They're all corrupt. I mean, it's amazing what's happening right now, and it's happening right out in the open, like it always does. You know, Tony Blair's not in prison. He should be in prison. George Bush isn't in prison. He should be in prison. But they're trying to get Donald Trump for nothing.
Tony Blair, I have to say, is a respected statesman, regularly interviewed here on mainstream media. But that is true, Jimmy. I have to say that.
He's regularly on TV. Tony Blair is a war criminal and should be in prison,
expert.
But he's not going to be.
He's seen as a great expert, as is his press secretary. On how serious the Venezuela situation is, you probably know Trump has told Russia to evacuate personnel from Venezuela with all options on the table. I mean, how far is he going to go?
They're going to go as far as they can to overturn this government, meaning they have a guy who's already been known to organize death squads for the same reasons, to steal natural resources from governments that are actually helping their people. So they'll go all the way to death squads, armed overthrow. They'll try everything short of an actual invasion, and they might even do that.
I'm sure Elliot Abrams, the U.S. Special Representative, would say that's a long time ago. But what are you saying, a Cuban missile crisis?
No, he did the same stuff in El Salvador. I mean, this is Elliot Abrams. He did it with Reagan. They all got caught up in Iran-Contra. They had to get pardoned. They all had to get pardons. They're all criminals. So we're living in a... I'm not kidding. It's not an exaggeration when I say the United States is a mafia state. It really is.
Jimmy Dore, thank you. That's it for the show. We'll be back on Wednesday, the anniversary of President Truman signing off the neocon Marshall Plan to reconstruct post-war Europe. Until then, keep in touch with our social media. See you on Wednesday.